Warning, the following podcast contains spoilers and swears.
Hello.
Hi.
Who are you?
I'm Evelyn Rogers. Who are you?
I'm your father, Scott Rogers. What are we doing here?
Well, this is a podcast.
About?
The Magicians and Magicians-related things.
And what are we talking about today?
Today we're talking about Season 3, Episode 4, Be the Penny.
All right, well, Be the Penny.
Who directed it, Dad?
Oh, directed by Shannon Coley.
Hey, good job, Shannon.
Mostly. Although you have one problem with it.
I do have one problem with it, actually.
We'll talk about it later.
We'll get to it. Yeah. I love this episode already.
Okay, well, tell us about it. Well, in your exhaustive style.
Okay, well, in the first scene, it's the aftermath immediately after episode 3, The Losses of Magic. Penny has died, and he astral projected out of his body while they were doing his little cancer surgery. And now he's dead. It's very sad.
But he's astrally projected, so he's not dead.
He's not dead.
He's not a ghost. He's not a ghost, though.
He's a little ghosty.
They established he's not a ghost.
Yeah.
He's an astral projection.
Yeah, but he keeps touching things, and he can't touch anything. He puts his hand through a lamp. He jumps through Todd.
Yes.
And, you know, he's like, well, damn, what the fuck am I going to do? I can't, like, talk to anyone. No one can hear me.
Yes.
So he has no way of communicating with anyone.
Yes, he's come down with a bad case of timing.
Yeah. And then we see, like, Julia tells Quentin about Penny's death, and he laughs.
Inappropriately.
Inappropriate reaction.
But I probably would have done the same thing to you, so don't feel bad.
Yeah, well, it's just,
I think it was kind of a relief for Quentin, to be honest.
How dare you?
What do you mean, how dare I? Penny
dare
was a
you?
Pain in the ass
no,
to Quentin.
He was a gorgeous man.
He beat him up. He tormented
person.
Him. He
I
was
love
constantly
Penny.
Complaining about him, singing Taylor Swift songs. Let Quentin live with his Taylor Swift brain song radio.
Well, I still think Penny deserved much more love in his life.
Well, Penny didn't ask for more love in his life. And if you want more love, you have to have a friend, you have to be a friend.
Mm, yeah.
And Penny was not
he's
very
just a little,
friendly.
He's like a little tsundere or whatever.
He was what?
He's like, it's not like I like you or anything. Idiot.
Yeah, I know. He's a jerk.
No.
Penny was a jerk.
It's like he's standoffish because he's hiding his, like, soft, gooey interior.
Well, but
he's a marshmallow.
He
he's a toasted marshmallow.
Too late, as we saw in the episode, nobody had anything nice to say about him at his half-assed memorial.
Yeah, and that's the next scene, actually. Everyone's kind of gathered. It's Julia, Quentin, Katie, and Dean Fogg in the cottage.
Yeah,
kind
of weird that Dean Fogg was there.
Well, they're at Breakbills, so.
Right. So Dean Fogg has to be in every scene that's at Breakbills.
Is that... And Penny's like, why is nobody crying? Appreciate me. I feel so bad.
Yes.
I don't want to give him a hug.
I did feel bad for Penny.
Penny, I love you
Even
so
though
much.
You know how I feel about Penny.
They're like, well, I guess we should eulogize. And so Quentin's like, he was a good friend and student. You know, none of us really knew him.
So poor Penny had to be confronted with the truth of his relationships
with
everybody at Breakbills.
Even Katie's like, you know, I didn't even really know him that well.
Yeah, that's tough.
That sucks. That hurts.
Yeah,
that hurts.
That would be like if I were at my memorial and you were like, well, I didn't really know my dad.
Yeah, he was okay.
That would suck. So there you go, the lesson for this episode.
Make friends.
Be a friend.
Yeah. But then Penny goes to the library to try and get one of the books on astral projection so then he can try and, you know, fix this. But the library's been ransacked.
It's been overrun by cannibals.
By cannibals, and they're using the books
to wipe their ass.
Yes, and also for, you know, kindling and stuff. And then he follows them outside, and all the fountains are frozen over because magic is gone. And we see Elliot and Fen and Frey, who that's where the that's where they went through the door. Because right. in the last episode, they had a door and it led somewhere. And this is where it led.
This is where it led.
The Netherlands.
And Penny tries to warn them.
Penny is, you know, it's like listening to a podcast and they're doing a quiz and you know the answer. And but no one can hear you.
Right.
That's like the most realistic version of being a ghost, I think.
Being a podcaster?
Listening to a podcast and knowing the answer.
We are ghosts.
Penny's like, don't eat their food, man. They're cannibals. And you know, Elliot's like, oh my God, thank you so much. And they sit down
delicious.
And he eats a little like rib. And Penny's like, no, that's a dude. You're eating a dude. And then Penny travels back to Breakbills and we see Alice and Quentin talking and Alice is going, oh my God, I can't believe he's gone. You know, I think I loved him. You don't really know how much you like, how much you cherish and love a person until they're gone. She's like, I remember when he used to hold me up on his shoulders. And at this point, you know, Penny's been listening. He's like, oh my God, someone's appreciating me. And then he's like, wait a second.
Yep.
And then Alice goes, were you close with your dad? Which is, I gotta say, is kind of like indicative of Alice and Quentin not really understanding each other fundamentally as people.
Uh-huh.
Because Quentin is, he has a very interesting relationship with his dad, but he is close. And that is like, you know, one of the main kind of plot points of the very first like the third episode in season one is
right.
like him trying to cure his dad's cancer,
but also very different than how it is in the book.
Yeah,
because in the book he was
Quentin
like,
is like emotionally neglected by his parents,
right? And so as a result, Quentin is like, even when he comes back to Earth and they're still alive in the third book, he's like, I don't think I want to go visit my parents.
Yeah,
he
so
just leaves.
It's a very different kind of dynamic.
Yeah.
So that kind of shows, at least for me, when you see that, when Alice like brings that up, that's kind of like, it shows very clearly how different they are and how little they understand each other on like the fundamental levels. And also they like dated. Wouldn't Alice know that he's close with his dad?
Maybe. Hey, how about you? Are you close with your dad?
I don't know.
How about right now?
I don't know. I don't know him that well.
Are you closer now to your dad?
I don't know.
Now you're close.
You're
right next to him, cheek to cheek.
I wouldn't say I know him that well.
You don't really know your dad that well?
I don't know.
Maybe you should get to know him.
I don't know how close you are right now.
How close am I? Physically, we're very close.
Physically, we're very close.
How about emotionally?
Emotionally?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there anything you'd like to ask your dad while he's still here and alive?
What'd you think of this episode?
Well, we'll get to that.
Quentin then kind of does something that's very insensitive, honestly, because she's...
Oh, I don't.
Well,
he's
like,
not.
Actually,
he's trying to relate
with
her.
I know he's trying to relate with her, and, you know, that is a fair
You're
thing.
You're very,
and very
quick
understandable.
To leap to...
It's just, it's funny to me that he's like, oh, yeah, you know, actually, my dad kind of stopped dying,
right.
And it's pretty great.
Well, but he hadn't told her about
it. I know.
If you had information like that, wouldn't you want to share it with your friend?
Yes, but I probably wouldn't share it with my friend who just lost her dad. Like,
well, it'd been a whole episode.
It would be, no, but that's like such a, you know, that's so sad. Like,
to say, oh, my
like,
dad's
my
still
dad's
alive.
Doing great.
So, like,
my dad is in remission.
I'm sorry to
awesome.
Hear. I'm sorry to hear your dad died.
Yeah,
by the way,
my
dad says
still
hi.
Alive.
My dad
yeah.
says hi.
Yeah, that's like awful.
Is that awful?
I think that's awful, especially if like you're going through the loss of a parent. If you're like close to them, and Alice was definitely closer with her dad than she was with her
but
mom.
But Alice was so detached about that. Like, she's like, I think I loved him.
Yeah, you know, she's dramatic and she's sad.
Is that her being sad, though? She just comes off as being aloof sometimes.
You know, that could be someone's version of sad.
Maybe.
Yeah, but...
I mean, I don't...
I think it's a sweet way for him to relate to her,
yes.
But it's also an insensitive way for him to kind of
it's
relate to her in that moment.
Timing,
yeah, it's very bad timing.
But I think that he meant well.
Yeah, and then...
It's kind of like, what's that thing that they were talking about recently where it's like if people interrupt... They're trying to help the conversation rather than just interrupt.
Uh-huh.
What's that called? I forget.
I don't know.
There's a name for it, but you know what I mean,
being
right?
Being Italian.
No, well, maybe. Or Jewish.
Both of our
But they're
heritage.
Yes, both of our heritage. Woo. Interrupting is part of our conversational style.
Woo.
But yeah, they said that there was this sociology thing that said that these cultures, part of it is that you want to show that you're paying attention. And so how you show you're paying attention is by engaging in the topic and trying to relate to the thing that the other person is talking about.
Uh-huh.
Now, we know that Quentin isn't Jewish or Italian, probably, right? Cold water, not a very Italian last name.
He says he's not Jewish because when they get the Keiko demon tattoos, he's like, well, now I can't get buried in a Jewish cemetery. And they're like, are you Jewish? And he's like, no, but no, I can't.
Right, exactly. So that, but maybe he's still Italian.
Maybe he's Italian. He talks with his hands.
Yes, and cold water, maybe that's a translation for something like, like something agua. Maybe his agua? Maybe his family's name got changed to Ellis Island or something
that's
like
Spanish.
That. Oh, that's true.
But yeah, so it's kind of an oof moment. But then Alice is like, you know, sometimes I don't know if I, like, want magic to come back because it's just done so many awful things.
Well, you know why it's done so many awful things.
Why?
Because of the writers of the show. It's all the writers' fault. They could have had nice things happen.
Yeah, but...
Do you think somebody would watch a TV show that...
Where nice things happen?
Like, well, I guess Bewitched, right? Is that... But Bewitched magic caused trouble, too.
Yeah.
It caused confusion. Is there any TV show where magic... just made things better, or is it magic always complicating things?
I don't know.
Maybe
I can't
somebody
think of one.
Maybe somebody should do a show where magic is nice and it's
maybe.
Would anybody want to watch it though?
I would.
Yeah.
I would watch.
Do you think anybody, I mean, like this is a very interesting thing about drama, right? Is that people mostly want to watch drama where bad things happen to other people? Usually things that are worse than what are going on in your life, because then you can feel better or superior to those people. But do you think somebody Well, I guess, actually, I can think of one thing that, it's not magic, though, but I can think of one thing where people like watching and it's nice things happen.
What?
The Great British Bake Off.
Yeah.
Who's our sponsor for this week?
No,
the
it's
Great
not.
British Bake Off.
No, it's not. And
particularly, we're sponsored by cakes this week. Cakes, they're delicious. Eat one today.
What type of cake?
Oh, if I could have cake right
Strawberry
shortcake's pretty good. I would have... Angel food cake is good with strawberries and whipped cream. But, I don't know, for some reason, although it can't have a lot of frosting on it, because I can't eat too much frosting. And it has to be buttercream, not that sugar crap.
Fondant.
Not like Vaughn's frosting or something, you know. I would like just a slice of chocolate layer cake with like three distinct layers.
The little mousse.
Where you can where you can see the layers. And then it would be mousse
or
buttercream on the outside. Probably mousse would be better. A
Stop
mousse frosting. Like a whipped cream frosting. You've had whipped cream frosting.
Yes.
Your
I've
mom
made
makes
it.
A great whipped cream frosting. That's what I
Shout
would
out
like.
To mom.
That's what I'd like, Brenda. A 3-layer chocolate cake with a mousse whipped cream frosting for my birthday. Because my birthday's coming up.
It's not yet. It's in 2 months.
It's 2 months? Well, that's plenty of time
to
prepare. To
make a cake. And
make
then
it,
let
take
it
a
mold.
Practice.
No, let it mold.
No,
and then give
no.
you the molded
to
cake
practice.
I made.
And practice like 3 times or so. Uh-huh. So that way we could have 3 chocolate cakes.
Okay.
In between now and my birthday.
Okay.
There you go. Cakes, our sponsor for this episode this week.
Okay.
Thanks, Cakes.
Okay.
TM.
No, trademark. Why?
That's saying. Thanks, Cakes.
No,
TM.
No. But Alice,
that should be a T-shirt.
Shush.
Thanks,
no,
Cakes.
No, stop
TM.
Saying it. But Alice says, you know, maybe I don't want magic to come back because what has magic honestly done for us? Like, it's just causing more and more problems, and it's awful. And well, Quentin's like, well, that kind of sucks to hear because you know this is our quest to like bring back magic. And she's like, but have you thought about what's gonna happen to your dad if magic comes back? Like, your dad could die.
Right.
And
here's the other thing to keep in mind. If magic never comes back, guess what Quentin and Alice will be?
Broken up.
Unemployed.
Oh,
because
true.
They went to school to be magicians.
Grad school. No, you know, Quentin's going to be double unemployed because he went to undergrad for philosophy.
Right. So that's why you should always get a backup degree in business.
Mm-hmm.
That's good advice, right? So that way, if one of your professions completely goes away because Luigi turns off the power, then you should have a backup degree in business. That's my advice. My fatherly advice for you. That's our new segment.
No.
Fatherly advice.
No.
There you go. All you listeners out there, get a backup degree in business.
Okay. But then Quentin's like, oh shit, I should tell like Margo and Elliot that, you know, Penny's dead. And so he goes and whispers to a bunny and he sends it off.
And somehow Penny follows the
yeah.
bunny?
I mean, I respect it. I enjoy watching him fall from
So
the
Penny's, I guess, I mean, that makes
They're
sense.
Interdimensional
well,
traveling.
But
bunnies.
Also, Penny is a magical
he's
creature.
He's a traveler. Yeah, he is a magical creature to a degree. So he gets onto the Muntjac where we see Tick, Benedict, and Margo. And he's like, ah, god damn it, I miss all the cool shit. Like, what the hell is this awesome boat?
Yeah, you know what? Okay. they missed an opportunity to have Penny on the boat.
Yes.
In full pirate regalia.
Yes. Oh my God. I would kill for that. Oh, with like
a bandana
and like
gold
earrings,
pantaloons.
Open shirt. This is the perfect time for an open shirt.
Yeah,
man.
He could have just stood there on the deck with the wind in his hair.
He already dresses kind of like a pirate.
Yeah, he does kind of dress like a pirate.
Oh my goodness.
Yep.
That
another
would be
spinoff.
So
how about a spinoff instead where
Penny's a pirate?
Or how about just a show where
Penny the pirate?
Well, no, a show where the actor
Arjun Gupta
is a pirate.
I would love that.
There you go, Arjun. There's your career advice.
That's your next job. You need to
get into a pirate movie.
Get hired again. Become a pirate. Please.
Right. Be a pirate.
Please.
Be the pirate.
But Margot gets the bunny, and it just says, Penny's dead. Sorry. And immediately, these are the only people who are actually, like, mourning him.
Hang on,
let me
ask you a question.
What?
Was it Quentin that said sorry, or was it the rabbit who said sorry?
It was Quentin, because
I think the rabbit said sorry. I think Quentin said, Penny's dead, and the rabbit said sorry, because that makes more sense, right?
Maybe.
But, like, why would Quentin say, Penny's dead, sorry?
Because it's like, sorry, he's dead.
Right, but he wouldn't say, sorry, he's dead. He would say, I have terrible news, Penny has died, or something like that, right? You wouldn't say...
You can only say so many things with a bunny.
Right, right. But I'm saying, I think the bunny was the one who said sorry.
Probably.
It makes more sense. Yeah. And it makes the bunny more sympathetic.
Yeah. And then Tick is like, was he not already?
Yes. Well, that was my question as
God,
well.
God, it's so funny.
But then poor Benedict
is stricken. He's like crying. And he's like, he was my best friend. And Marco's like, damn, I thought... You know, maybe one day we were gonna bang, and Penny's like, oh, me too, girl, me too.
I feel so bad. Poor Benedict is so stricken.
I know, it's
and
so
he looks
upsetting.
So, for the rest of the episode, he just looks so sad.
I know.
Guillermo, when are you gonna come on our show?
Harvey,
that's yes.
That's his name.
I know, but to me, he's Guillermo. Because that's the other podcast
we
should
do. What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh, my God. What We Do in the Shadows podcast.
Not right now.
Oh, my God.
No.
How great
but
would
then,
that be?
But then Penny goes back to Katie, where Katie's about to... She's
going to do drugs. Don't do drugs, Katie.
She's going to do
drugs.
Drugs
is bad.
All I can think about when I think about heroin as a drug is that one bit from Film Reroll where Paolo is like, oh, and you take a chunk of heroin.
Is a chunk of heroin.
From Weekend at Bernie's. Listen to Film Reroll. Good podcast. But yeah, she's going to do drugs because she's sad.
Heroin does not come in chunks.
Does not, but
actually,
maybe
you know what
it could
heroin's
if you
like?
Freeze it.
Heroin is like brown sugar.
Could it be in chunks?
It could be. It's like brown sugar, and
I
then it breaks apart.
I don't know enough about
drugs
to dispute this.
And then you boil it in a spoon, and then you use that to suck up in the needle.
Don't give instructions.
Well,
like this.
No. I've never even seen heroin, but I've seen enough movies
with
that
heroin,
show you how to do it. Yes. Yeah. What do you mean by making a face? I've seen movies.
But Katie's gonna
do heroin.
Yeah.
Bad heroin.
Sucks. And
don't
Penny,
do heroin.
Penny's talking to her the whole time. And he's like, hey, you know, I thought we would have normal couple problems, but we don't get those because life fucking sucks.
Well,
and this
magicians.
Is The Magicians.
Right.
This is the TV show The Magicians on Sci-Fi.
And
he's
and
like,
he
I
bails.
Don't, well, he says, I don't want to wait around and watch you, like, destroy
yourself.
Yeah. And so he leaves, and then he just goes downstairs, and then, like, within, like, a span of, like, maybe a minute, he sees Todd getting possessed. Todd is like looming over Juliet, and he's like, you got to go help her. She's in
His
trouble.
Eyes are all white
yeah.
and creepy.
And then
poor
he's
Todd.
Like, what the fuck is happening over here? So then Juliet bursts in to Katie's room and brings her back from, she was overdosing.
Yes.
Or having a bad.
No, she was overdosing.
Yeah.
I think she was trying to kill herself.
Well, yeah. That was very clear.
Right.
Yeah. She's shaking a little, doing a little samba.
And then she barfs.
On the bed. Yeah, she throws up. It's gross. And then there's a little boy, a little man who is like, whoa, that was gross.
He's not a boy.
I just don't
He's
like him.
He's like in his late 20s. He's like in his
like
mid-20s.
I don't like him.
I
don't.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No, you
yes.
have bad taste.
Yeah, no, I don't have
you,
bad taste.
You have bad taste
no,
in
I
this
don't.
Moment.
Hyman is in, a funny character.
He's funny, but
he's...
He's
a creep,
character.
But he's funny.
He's funny, I agree.
He's a creep,
he's awful.
But he's funny.
Yes.
Kind of like Penny.
Yeah. No! Penny is not a creep. Fuck you.
He's a jerk. That's the difference.
Yeah.
But Hyman is a creep. All right,
but
so.
Hyman introduces himself as Cooper Hyman. He was a student at Breakbills in the 1920s, and he used to peep people in the showers and stuff. He used to use his
ability to travel. Peep he was around. A traveler. And then somebody moved his body.
Somebody moved his body, so he couldn't find it. And his body died, and he got stuck on the astral plane. And right. So now he's like, now it's peeping all the time. It's awful. And he's like, you don't know me? The pervert ghost of break bills. It's awful. At least he embraces the fact that he's a disgusting pervert.
Well, he's been doing it for, 80-some-odd years, right?
But Penny's like, you fucking idiot. You're not a ghost. You're stuck on the astral plane because, you were still alive and you astral projected when you died.
Right.
So, but then Hyman's like, well, how do you know, I'm not like, that doesn't explain how I interact with the world. How can I touch things? But when I sit, I can still sit. And then Penny's like, I don't know. Your ass just knows. don't worry about it.
What does your ass know?
My ass knows?
Yeah, what does your ass know?
That I'm sitting on a chair right now.
Exactly.
I'm sitting on a cushion.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Do you know, well.
My ass speaking does of, not have an associate's degree.
Speaking of inappropriate comedian stuff.
Oh, God.
Bill Cosby used to have
Don't even finish. Don't even finish that sentence. It's bad enough
this
you like
terrible.
Hyman.
It's so terrible, though.
And no. You don't get to say it on this podcast. All right.
Out of respect for you and ass, I will not Jesus say Christ. A Bill Cosby joke.
Oh, God. Then we see Quentin and Julia, and they found out that Rupert found the key, and we get to see this wonderful little illustration in the Fillory book. I love that illustration of Rupert. He's going into a cave, and he takes this key, which he brings back to his friend Lance.
All right,
during the war.
All right, I have a huge problem with this.
Dad made us pause the show.
Have a huge problem with this.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so they made it very clear that unless they went through extreme lengths like the Watcher Woman or Martin to stay in Fillory as an adult, that they were kicked out of Fillory after they were children, right? The picture clearly shows Rupert.
He's the older sibling.
The clearly People shows
lie
Rupert
when they go to war.
In after World War One, he got whatever World War Two.
Timeline's
he
different
got,
in the show.
All right, whatever. He got injured and had to use a cane to walk around after his injury from being World War II. Therefore, even though if he lied about his age, he was still clearly an adult. What the hell is he doing in Fillory? He should not have been in Fillory because that violates everything they've set up about Fillory. They've never said that the kids got into Fillory as adults, except for the fact
he's
that when they
adult,
like forcibly
the
broke. No, they're not. He's not the older sibling.
He is
clearly an adult in
he's
that
the
picture.
Oldest, he's
and
the
he's
oldest
every
sibling.
Time we've seen, and even when they show him later, he's an adult.
Yeah, that's after.
No, that's not long after. He gets the key and gives it to his gay lover.
Fun fact,
right?
Rupert was also.
No, this is fucked up. So this will not stand because this is just. Stupid plot for stupid. There was no thought that went into this. They're like, oh yeah, we'll just do this. They've set up, this is the worst violation of their rule system that they've broken yet. This is the most annoying thing because entire seasons have hinged around the plot of, oh, we couldn't get back into Fillory, so therefore we forcibly broke our way back into Fillory, changed the natural laws, became supernatural creatures, became evil, which became the enemies of the storyline, this entire thing, and Rupert just waltzes in to a cave and grabs a magic key and leaves with no ramifications whatsoever.
You know why? It's because
it's bullshit.
Now he gets gay people privilege.
It's bullshit.
He gets gay person
it's
privilege.
Bullshit. This is
what happens.
No, this is just sloppy,
out.
Continuity, sloppy writing, it without any thought at all. Now, if they had said he found this when he was a kid and he had it, and then later he gave it to his gay lover because he wanted to give him something special, sure, I'd buy that. But no, the illustration very clearly shows old Rupert.
He's not old, he's like in his late
20,
teens.
20, though.
Teens.
He's in like his
late teens.
He's still, that's adult. Like, in the book, they wouldn't, you know, what's his face? Martin wouldn't even, he was like 13 when he got kicked out.
Yeah, but the ages are different. They're all older in the show.
Oh, I know. That's because they'd have to hire.
Fucking 5 years old.
They'd have to hire tutors otherwise if they were kids. Yeah. And that's just
they're all
expensive.
At least, but you know, no, 15,
this is
16.
This is a irredeemable sin against this is just bad.
Okay.
It's if I was on this show, that would have never happened.
Uh-huh. If you were in the writer's room?
If I was in the writer's room, I'd say, no, wait a second. We can't do this. We'd have to adjust.
Where's our show Bible?
They don't have a Bible. They're just making this shit up as they went. Although I do have to admit, it is a nice picture of Rupert walking into a cave.
Kind
of reminds me of your illustrations that you do.
Oh, thank you. but so they're like, oh, well, actually, so Hyman is like, oh, I love this pairing. Quentin and Julia, best friends since childhood, but he's always loved her. I'm like, that's more of like a book thing, honestly. They didn't really push that a lot in the show.
Yeah.
So, and then Penny's like, are you serious? These two? And Hyman's like, you know, as someone from the 1920s, I find a heterosexual white male protagonist very relatable. And Penny's face when Hyman says heterosexual is very funny.
I thought that was a really funny line.
It is a very funny line. And all
you know
it
what?
Does is
I
make
find,
me think of...
I find a white heterosexual protagonist relatable, too.
Funny, funny. But all it does is make me think of this scene from this, like, Sim Malik Magician's Crack video where they play, like, Gimme Gimme over it and it, like, zooms in on Penny's face. It's very funny. Everyone should watch that video.
All right,
top tier.
That's a yours thing. All right, so I have a question.
Yes.
Because they talk about, they say Alice is, like, Mrs. Grundy.
Yeah.
Who's Mrs. Grundy?
Why would I know that?
Isn't that from a book or something? Like Pride and Prejudice or something like that?
I don't know.
Oh, all right. They made, like, what was the other reference? There was another reference that they made, too.
He says he's the Duck's Nuts.
Yeah, so that was funny.
Yeah. Quentin is the Duck's Nuts.
Yes.
Hyman,
funny.
But then we see Elliot and they are... and Co. and they are running away from the cannibals and they're like, oh my god, I ate a person, this is awful. And Frey is like, why can't we just give them what they want? And Ellie's like, no, you're grounded. And she's like, hey, you know what, you lied to me because you said that we were just gonna collect taxes, but we were actually there to get the key.
Well,
and he's like, we're not gonna talk about this right now.
Good job catching up, Frey. It's only taking you 3 episodes.
But then Penny is like yelling at them the whole time. He's like, oh my god, there's like a door downstairs to the library, go down there. And then Elliot's like, wait a second, there's a door downstairs to the library. And so they run over to get there. And Fenn's like, don't run so fast. I have wooden toes.
Yeah, that was funny.
It's funny. And then we get back to Break Bills with Dean Fogg, Quentin, Julia, and Hyman is watching them as they talk about it. And they have found out that Lance Morrison went to Break Bills for a semester, but then there was a Code 7. And it turns out Code 7 is a student suicide or student explosion. It's the same code, maybe.
Yeah.
Which is kind of, ugh. And Dean Fogg says that, you know...
Well, maybe a student committed suicide by exploding themselves.
That does happen. Well, not that specifically.
Magically,
yeah.
So maybe that's why they... happen. Maybe it conflated. Maybe they were like, well, this explosion happened once,
mm-hmm.
and it was a suicide, magic suicide, and so therefore it's still a Code 7. It's just that you know that when you are going to... find the remains of a student, it's going to be messy. So therefore, if you get a Code 7, expect something messy at the other end.
Maybe that is the case. Before they can, they're going to go over to go find Lance Morrison and where he was. But we cut back to Katie, where she's in the hospital wing because, you know, she OD'd. And there's a traveler, I forget his name.
Let's call him Frank.
Frank, it's not his name. This Australian traveler, and he's here on behalf of the library, the Order of the Library of the Netherlands, because Penny hasn't checked in for his work in the underworld.
I think Australians are the new British people on television.
Really?
Because, like, in the 70s, whenever you wanted to have an asshole character, they were British. Like, Star Wars. All the bad guys in Star Wars speak with a British accent, where all the good guys are American, right? Uh-huh. Except for Princess Leia, who has some sort of weird, affected British accent.
Transatlantic.
Exactly.
Kind of thing.
But nowadays, if you want a character to be an asshole, they have an Australian accent. It's true. Mm. Watch more shows.
Okay. Well, this guy is definitely an asshole, in any case. And he asked Katie a series of questions. He's like, did Penny die a traumatic death? And he's like, okay, well then probably his soul is becoming a malicious ghost at this very moment. So we can bring a corpse eater in to come and eat his body. So then we can have him, you know, come back in. It's whatever.
Well, they said like, her. Well, they had her,
yeah,
her already.
She'll come in and she'll eat the body. So then, like, Penny will not become a ghost. And it's like the other option is like burning his body, but then if they burn the body, then he'll have to, you know, be in servitude.
How do you think you get a job as a corpse eater? Like, what, like, is there some sort of intern program?
You probably have to like eating corpses.
Right, but I mean, like, this is an intentional job, right? Like, do they hire somebody who's already a cannibal and say, hey, we've got a job for you because you're already doing it? It would be like if you like to eat beef jerky already, like, and then they said, hey, you like to eat beef jerky, we're gonna hire you to eat beef jerky, right? Or is it somebody that they say, hey, how would you like to have a job? And you're like, well, what's the job? And you're like, eating a person. And you're like,
yeah, okay.
Sure, I'm willing to try that. Right? Like, where do they recruit from?
I don't know. It's a magical world, baby. There's lots of weird stuff.
It's not in the book, so.
But basically, they have to, like, they're gonna yank Penny's soul out with a tether and then eat him, and that's what the corpse eater does.
Right.
And so Alice and Katie are talking, and Alice is like, you know, we could burn the body, or we can have, I think, you know, honestly, you should let the corpse eater eat him, because then it'll be better for him to, like, you know, be a slave for a billion years than be, you know,
but would you really want
confounded
your
confounded as a ghost for eternity? Because eternity is much longer than a billion years.
Do you really want your loved one to be someone's poop?
What?
That's what would happen. If somebody ate you,
oh my God,
then you would be somebody's poop, right? Well, which is worse. And you still, where does that, what does that poop then, like, just
why?
Because you
why
eat?
Why did you bring this
just
up?
Just because. I think about these things.
Why
so,
do you think about these things?
Because it's realism.
Anyway,
so, like,
but,
where
Katie
does the,
says,
wait,
Katie
wait, wait.
Katie says
so
that she
you
doesn't
burn,
trust the order. And,
hang on. If you
and
burn,
Penny's like, that's good for you, girl. Because,
yeah,
you know, who wants to be enslaved by the people who literally murdered you?
Right, right, exactly. So here's the thing. Well, first of all, why
Alice,
would you want to eat Penny? Because he's been poisoned.
Yeah.
Right?
That's
so you don't
like
want to
eat
like
poisoned
meat.
That's like eating a koala.
What do you, wait, like eating a koala?
Yes, because koalas, because they eat eucalyptus,
yeah,
they like slowly kill themselves because it's like the eucalyptus is like bad for their bodies and their brains. So they slowly poison themselves. And when koalas die, you have to just let them decompose where they die because they're like if you try and eat them,
they're
you'll
like
die.
Toxic?
They're toxic, yeah. Because they eat so much
first
eucalyptus.
Of all, who would want to eat a koala?
I'm just saying, though, that's like a thing.
Right. All right. So why would you then want to eat Penny?
So it's the same. He's a koala.
Right. But he's why would
Penny's
some, why would they want somebody to eat
a sweet
him?
Little koala.
Because then the corpse eater poops. And
don't,
then what do you do with the
why?
Poop?
Why?
Do you have to burn
why?
The poop?
Why are we talking about
do you
this?
You flush
stuff?
It? But then
why? Why are we talking about this?
Because, stuff? Like, when you burn somebody your ashes and you're reducing it down to its, like, you know, comet, you know, you're atomizing it kind of in a way, right? And if you're burying it, you're putting it in the earth and letting the nutrients go back into the earth, right? But if you're eating it, it's going to be poop. And then what? It still has to go through
nutrients.
Another step. But no, it's a bad, it's you still have to go through a second step. Do you have to burn the poop? Do you have to have the poop
okay,
in? It's almost
no
the
more.
Same as
no
burying.
More no more of this. No more of this. No.
You're
no.
the one who loves reading books about mortuary practices.
Yes,
and
there are
stuff
such
like
things
that.
As soul eaters, which is pretty cool.
No, it's
like,
not.
Like, you eat, like, there's
yeah, but
like
you eat fruit.
You
put,
eat,
like, fruit around them,
you,
and you
well,
eat that.
You
and it's sin eaters,
you put
not
sin
soul
eaters.
Eaters.
Yeah, I forgot the name. Right. You put cake on top of them. And
yeah,
then
and then
the
you
cake.
Eat the cake. Oh, brought to you by cake. Oh, thanks, cake. TM.
Okay, no more of this, though. But then we see Hyman and Penny, and Penny is like, you have to help me try and help my friends, or else I will cock block you for all of eternity. I need to talk to them today so they don't, you know, fucking burn my body or, you know, let them eat my body.
I become poop.
Both options are bad. Oh my god, Dad. But, so Hyman is like, okay, fine. When I first died, quote-quote, I did try to contact people, and I tried to push and push and push things and try to move them for a long amount of time, but it didn't work out till I realized that I had to be the thing. And so he's like, okay, well, here's this penny.
Conveniently. on the table.
Yeah, and then he's like, okay, I need you to be the penny. And it's three hours later.
I should have hired that guy.
Penny is, Hyman's yelling at Penny, and he's like, just be the penny. Penny's like, I'm trying. He's like, just be, you're not being the penny. You gotta be the penny. And he's like, you know what? You are a dunce. You are a dullard. You can't get this right. And then Penny, like, screams, and then he becomes the penny.
And the penny talks. And Penny's like, talking.
Hyman's like, hey. Oh my god, you did it.
And the penny's like, hey, what do I do? And yeah, he's like, flipping
it's
around.
Like shaking. And then Penny flips himself over.
Yes.
And then he comes back out of the penny and he's like, oh my god, my mouth tastes like pennies. This is
actually Hyman says something that I think everybody should start using. He says, holy zerts.
Holy zerts.
Which I guess is maybe an old 1920s saying. Yeah, I don't know. Is it?
Mm-hmm.
How do you know that?
Because I was in a 1920s musical.
And they said holy zerts in it?
Well, we did research.
Oh, okay. And you found, what is zerts though?
I don't remember.
Zerts, it's not like a breath mint.
No.
That's zerts.
So
yeah, I think everybody should start using holy zerts as a saying.
Yeah. But then Penny's like, okay, I need to project into something, you know, better. And he's like, I could just project back into my body. I know how to use my body. And Hyman's like, no, don't do that, because if you do, you'll actually die. The only thing keeping you alive is that you are outside of your body. So if you go back in, you will die for real. So he tries to be the bunny.
But hang on a second. All right, I have a question.
Yes.
All right, Penny's body is dead.
Yes.
But it's cancer-free.
Yes.
So if the thing that was killing Penny... But couldn't they bring him back to life?
The body's already dead. There's no magic.
Right.
Remember?
Right, but why don't they use Dr. Frankenstein? Like, put him in electricity and zap him?
No, because this is still... Even though there's magic in this world, it still works by real-world rules.
Right.
So they can't...
You can bring a frog back to life.
Yeah, but it's not...
You can resuscitate a person who's
But he's
dead.
Already brain dead, so it's like he would just die.
No, where? So wait, what is the brain, though? Is it your consciousness, or is it your soul and your spirit?
I don't know.
Right?
I
like,
don't
if
know,
you
man.
Put somebody... Like, obviously, Penny is conscious, and
yeah,
his,
he projected
he's aware.
His consciousness.
Right, so if he puts that consciousness back into his body,
he
why wouldn't
die,
that
though.
Body... Come back to life.
He'll die.
Isn't he the life?
But that's what Hyman said, and that's how the world worked for how the world
inconsistent
works for this.
Garbage.
Yeah. So he tries to be the bunny. Doesn't work. And he sees Margot and Tick and Benedict on the Munt Jack.
Yes.
And
poor Benedict looks still so sad the entire time.
And Tick's like, Your Majesty, may I suggest when we get back to Whitespire, you take a nice calming bath? And she's like, I would, but that chalky bitch stole my bathtub.
Yeah, see? Margot agrees. Every scene that she's in, she's in a bathtub.
Yeah, and it's great. It's great.
She's going to have wrinkly fairy skin.
Yeah, but then Penny, we see Elliot again, or Margot says Elliot might be dead.
Right.
For all I know, the bunny came back, returned to sender. And so she's like, okay, Benedict, I want you to round up all the guards. Tick, when we get back, I want you to go to that anti-fairy hallway, and I want you to grind one of those bricks to dust. And then we're going to put it into her bath, and when she's paralyzed, I'm going to cut out her heart and eat it in front of everyone.
That's a pretty good plan, actually.
It's a great plan. And then Penny's like, damn, girl, you get shit done. It's great. We love Margot appreciation.
Margot is awesome.
And then we see Todd and his disgusting habits, because he has the Margolem in his closet. It's just awful.
It's like just thrown in the closet, though.
But it's still, that's still pretty awful.
What? The Margolem? But Margolem is a living thing.
In his room, and it's garbage.
It's only implied that he uses it for sex, and Todd himself says that he only dresses it up and has it say nice things about him.
Pretends that he
that Margot likes him. Yes,
that she respects him.
Exactly. Maybe he uses it for conversation.
But
why does your mind immediately leap to the grossest outcome?
Because that's what the magician's writers do.
Yeah, I know they are. They're terrible.
Yeah. But Penny bees the Margolem. And Margolem comes out and, you know, she's all, you know, funky. Her eyes are doing weird things.
Yeah,
she's
growing. You got a Summer.
Shout out to Summer. It's for amazing awesome.
Eye. As somebody who can twitch their eyes, I don't know. Do my eyes look like that when they twitch?
A little.
I can do that. But that was like some pretty good.
It could probably. It probably most of it was like.
You think it was digital?
Digital.
I don't know. Maybe. We should see. We're getting this list. This is why we have to have her on the show, because we're getting this list of things. That
questions
about her performances, about lip quivering and eye quivering.
Yeah,
you know, have a lot of quivering related questions for Summer.
But Mom noticed when the Margolem goes towards Katie, he starts to say "I love you," which is like, "Oh!" And then Quentin beats it with the stick.
He screams.
It's so funny.
It is pretty funny.
Jason Ralph, please do more comedy.
Yes.
It's so funny.
He needs to be in like a remake of The Ghost and Mr. Chicken.
No remakes.
Have you ever seen
original
that movie?
Films,
well, whatever. Original. Okay, then an original version of The Ghost and Mr. Chicken. But he needs to be in some movie where he is a like somebody who gets caught up in some sort of ghostly mystery.
Yeah.
And so there's lots of opportunity for him to be scared and
funny.
Like, and react. Yeah, and act, yeah. Overreact to things.
Yeah. But then Penny and Hyman are sitting together in the little pool room, and, you know, they're talking about how Lance Morrison's ghost is in the, like, West Dorm, which is, was sealed off because in the 40s it was considered, like, distasteful to have a ghost on campus, but now it's like, you know, they put it on the brochure. And they had it all sealed and buried when magic was still here. But now that magic's gone, they can go and find the ghost.
Right.
And Hyman's like, you don't want your friends to go in there. That ghost tried to kill me. It is so scary and so terrifying. You don't want to be there. It's just awful. So then Q and Julia go to the West Dorm. Oh, and Penny has an epiphany. It was basically, you know, ghosts can hurt. You know, Hyman says ghosts can hurt us, whatever we are.
Right.
And Penny's like, you know, if a ghost can hurt us, then a ghost can see us. And that means I can make a ghost, you know, relay a message.
Yeah.
Say my name. So Q and Julia go to the West Dorm, a spooky door and a spooky room. And inside is Lance Morrison. And so Penny goes up to Lance and he's like, tell them my name. And then Lance gets like triggered into a ghost loop. Because Penny is like, you were friends with Rupert Chatwin or whatever.
Right.
And so then we see the ghost loop. We see Rupert Chatwin bring the truth key to Lance. And he's like, it just helps you see the truth of things. And then he gives it to Lance. And Lance is like, oh my God, you're gay. I'm gay. Incredible.
All right. Hang
and
on
then
a second.
They kiss.
Though. Yes.
They kiss and it's so sweet.
All right.
And
but
wonderful.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing, right?
They were lovers.
But here's the thing.
What?
Do you think that it was a little unfair? I mean, all right. That's
to
not
immediately
even...
watch a hate crime.
No, hang
right
on.
Right after?
No, not.
Another gay person for the tally.
Another dead gay person. No, but what I'm saying is, do you think it was unfair? Okay, so if Rupert was in love with Lance,
yes,
and he knew he was gay.
No, he had,
Rupert
well,
knew if knew Rupert knew
both,
he was gay.
They probably were both in love with each other, but they were like, "Oh, he's probably
straight, so I'm not gonna
make a move."
Well, no, I think Rupert went to him and was like, "Look, I think you're gay. I'm gay for you. Here's the key." It's kind of like he's outing Lance.
No,
he's giving
it's
him
just
the
them
key
together.
That he knows that it's gonna
it's
be
just
truth.
Them together.
So what happened if Lance had the key and he said, "I'm not gay"?
Well, then you know. Sucks to suck, man.
But I'm just saying that it's kind of is a little unfair of Rupert to do that.
No.
Yeah, it was.
No, Lance gets outed when his dad takes the key.
Why?
It's not.
Why would his dad?
Because his dad holds the key.
Then knows the truth.
Yeah.
That his son's gay.
Yes. It's the key that outs.
Well,
you.
I mean, I'm not saying
the
that what the
key.
Dad
it should be called the truth key.
Right.
The
right.
Outing
yeah, it
key.
Is the outing key because it really didn't do anything other than just out people.
Yeah.
Right. But. That said, I think it was unfair for Rupert to kind of out Lance.
But they both
like
loved
that.
Each other. That's why.
That's true. They do love each other.
They needed the truth of things to feel completely safe with one another. So that's why. And then Penny's
why do you
like,
need a key to feel safe with each other? Why can't you just trust each other with emotions?
Because it was a very fraught time to be gay, Dad.
But there were gay people.
Yes. But they were being banned from the military and, you know.
Yeah, but these guys had already served in the military.
Yeah, but
so.
You could still be, you know,
maybe that's
shamed,
what they realized. They found love
beaten,
in a foxhole.
They could still be hate-crimed. Like, dude,
that's true.
Life was awful.
I know. It still is.
Yes. So, I think it's completely fair to have a key that shows completely true intentions before you make a move where you might get hate crime.
But if you're like going to give it to somebody and say, I'm going to give this to them with the hopes that they're gay for me too, then that's like, it still is a little skeevy.
It's not.
So would you like somebody to come to you with a key to get you to confess some emotion for them?
I mean, I wouldn't mind. Saves time.
You're awful laissez-faire about this.
Saves time. But then Penny's like, damn, Hyman, you homophobic pussy. These are just two dudes kissing.
Yes.
Yeah, we love to shit on Hyman. He sucks.
But he's funny.
But then we see Lance's dad, Emmett, and he comes in and he's like, you're disgracing your mother's side of the family, the McAllisters.
Yeah, you gotta make that connection clear, right?
You're sullying the McAllister name.
Well, you never say that, though,
and then
he
takes the key from Lance, and he's like, sullying. Oh my god, that's disgusting, and then, you know, he hate crimes him, he does his little force magic, and then he chokes his son and murders him.
Yeah, it's horrible.
But while he's murdering Lance, Penny, like, tries to get him off him and punches him a bunch and tries to get him to say his name. And then he's like, that's not a real name. No, it isn't. And Q and Julia leave because they think that, like, the ride is broken. But they steal the key. They do get the key out of Emmett's pocket.
Yes.
So
if you immediately get the key and you hold it, then are you just like, everything you say is truthful at that point?
No, it's you see truth.
Oh, you see
So, like, truth. If something is hidden, you'll see it, which is why, you know, things happen later.
Okay.
It's just, it helps you see truth, and, like, it's like an intuitive knowing kind of thing, I think, as well.
Okay.
So then we see Harriet. Oh, love Harriet. Yes. And Katie and Alice, and they're talking about what to do with Penny's body, whether they should have the corpse eater come eat him, or they should burn the body and, like, free the spirit. And, you know, Alice is still on the side of eating the body, and Katie wants to burn him. Maybe. And Harriet says, you know, you shouldn't give him to the library because, you know, as said earlier, why would you want to be a slave to the people that killed you for a billion years?
Harriet, possibly the only sensible character in the entire show.
Literally the only one. Yeah. Then we see Quentin, Dean Fogg, and Julia, and they're like, okay, well, we need to get to the McAllisters because that's where they probably have the actual key.
Right.
You know, the fake one.
They have it somewhere in their old house.
Somewhere in their house. So Fogg is like, okay, the McAllisters have been looking for proof that magic still exists, so I'll take you guys over and we'll see what happens. So they get to see Irene McAllister. She's great. Love her. Good villain. Love her. She's great.
Is she a villain?
Yeah.
In this part?
Not in this part. Not in this episode. Later.
She becomes... I don't even remember.
She's great.
In this season?
Yeah. Huh. In this season.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But
more
yeah.
made up stuff.
But the McAllisters are the oldest magical family in America. They're very old.
So did
line.
They come on with the Mayflower or before the Mayflower?
Probably with, because they're mostly white people.
Because if they're the oldest magical family in America, wouldn't that be some Native American?
Probably. So. If they were actually, you know, being correct.
Right.
But
so
probably
not,
in this moment,
and
not.
So the oldest white?
Yeah.
All right.
Sucks.
It does.
But they go to the house, and there's a bunch of, like, invisible magical things, you know, sweeping up, cleaning up around
the house.
It's
like Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Yeah, and Penny can see there's, like, a little kind
glow.
Of glow where all the chores are being done. But then we also get to see Elliot, because he has the illusion keys, because, you know, Penny has the thing where he's like, oh my god, if they get the truth key, they can see me because I'm a hidden thing.
Right.
So he goes to Elliot first because Elliot has the illusion key. Maybe it'll work the same way.
Maybe.
And he's like, oh my god, please see me, Elliot. But when Elliot uses the key, instead of creating a shadow bat, instead
to
it creates...
To scare the cannibals.
His dad.
And his dad says, he says, I didn't think I could make a sailor's uniform look gayer.
Yep. Dad is homophobic and awful and garbage.
Yes.
Terrible man. And then poor Penny, he sees Elliot and he's like, damn, you might be the one person in the multiverse more fucked than me, which is just so sad.
Wait, about who?
About Elliot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And well, he's like, man, what is with people and their daddy issues?
Yes. There are a lot of daddy issues this episode.
Yeah, but at the
McAllister Speaking of
town,
which...
No, we already had...
No, wait, stop.
What?
Why didn't anybody try to contact Penny's family? Doesn't Penny have family? I mean, we don't know anything about Penny.
Oh, he came from the foster system.
Is that when we hear that?
It's in season one.
But doesn't he have foster parents?
Yeah, but he, like, ran away. The only thing we know at this point is that he is from Florida and that he has foster family.
who don't care about him.
Or, you know, or he ran away from.
So he has no ties.
Yeah, no
There's
ties.
Nobody that they could have tried to contact?
Nope.
No emergency contacts?
Nope.
Not even, like, another friend?
Nope.
From his previous life in Florida?
He does have one other friend, but we don't get to see him until this Penny is dead.
Right.
Like, perma-dead.
All right. All right, anyway. So, back to
the McAllister's
Penny.
House.
Oh, yeah, McAllister's house. So, they get the key.
Well, Quentin does a bunch of magic tricks for Irene because he's like, yeah, apparently I can still translocate stuff. And so he does a little magic trick with a little olive.
And she's not buying it.
Yeah, even though that's valid. It's just party tricks that are still things that are working.
That's not, no, he wasn't translocating. He just was doing a magic trick, like the thing your brother knows how to do.
Well, she's like, I saw you pocketed the olive, but then the olive's in her glass.
Oh, is that? Yeah. Oh, is that what it was?
That's what it was. So it's like really minor magic still works. Right. But then Julia sneaks off and does a locating spell and finds the golden key and when she takes it, it's a really cool shot. You know, it's the same shot. 1 second there's nothing there, and the second she takes it, there's some creepy fairies watching, and then they disappear.
I'm implying that the magical chores are being done by fairies.
Yeah. But the time is running out. It's the seventh day. They had 7 days before the corpse eater would come.
Right.
So
because,
Penny goes
you know,
to Katie.
That's everything happens in 7 days,
yeah.
Right?
So,
or 24 hours.
Or 24 hours. So Penny goes to Katie, where she's preparing to burn his body.
His body's looking pretty good.
I still
think he had a good chance if he had jumped in.
His body looks better than it did when he died.
Right. So
which is kind of funny.
Really, I think that if his spirit had gone back into his body,
probably would have been fine.
Might have been fine.
But Alice comes and she says, you know, I can still get the corpse eater if you want, or I can burn the body for you because I don't want you to have this, like, guilt. Because you've already, you know, murdered a senator and you had to, you know, deal with the whole Reynard thing. So you're just chock full of trauma.
Right.
But
give Katie a break.
Katie's like, I just wish we knew what Penny wanted.
Penny,
and Penny's like,
Penny
well, both options are awful.
Penny should have
but
left.
But don't send me to the underworld.
Right. Well, Penny should have left a will.
Yeah. Well,
right?
He didn't
Everybody,
have one.
No matter
he
how.
He did leave a will. His name was William.
Oh.
And Katie asks Alice, why do you want to help him so much? And
that was a dad joke.
Thank
by the
you.
Way.
Thank you. That's our dad joke.
By the week.
Katie asks Alice, why do you want to help him so much? And Alice says, well, he was my friend. And Katie says, no, he wasn't. He wasn't really anyone's friend.
He wasn't really anyone's friend.
And she says, fine, he wasn't my friend, but I know what it's like to lose control of your life and to not have a choice about what, like, the outcome is and what you want to do. So I want to give him that choice in whatever capacity I can.
And Alice was like, surprise, I'm the corpse eater. Yum, yum.
She gets out
a fork and knife yeah.
And a napkin.
Exactly. It has a picture of Penny's face
yeah.
on the napkin.
Yeah, and Katie.
Like a lobster.
Oh, God. And Katie's like, you know, I tried to help Penny. I tried to the best of my ability, and he died anyway. And, you know, I was kind of relieved when he died, because at least it was over.
Oh, that's so rough.
Yeah, and she's like, I just wish I knew what he wanted. And so Alice was like, well, I will do it for you if you want me to.
I'll
take the blame.
I'll eat Penny.
Yeah. But then Penny's like, God damn it, I guess I will, like, burn my body so I don't go
candle.
To the underworld. So he goes, be the candle. And he becomes the candle, and he rattles over, and
that
he burns the body.
Goes up really fast.
Well, she covered his body in gasoline,
but it would not be enough.
That would not be enough to, like, cremate his body.
No, you
or
need
anything.
To have, like, how hot does it have to be?
It's very hot. It's like over 200. It's like 700 degrees or something.
700 degrees is. Well, I guess that's
yeah,
a lot.
It's a lot.
Okay.
It's a lot. You have to be, because you have to, you know, burn all kinds of stuff in there.
Right. Well, yeah. All that's left is like little bits of bone. And
yeah.
You still have to grind up all the bone afterwards.
Yeah.
There's a lot of still stuff that you have to do.
Yeah, you should read one of the.
No,
books
I've already
that I
read.
Own.
I played that video game where you're
you
the
read,
where you're
where
the
you're
a
mortician.
Mortician. Yeah.
Yeah, but you should read one.
And
of
then
the
you
books
have to go
I
through the whole.
It.
You have to go through a whole. You
whole
burn
process.
Them all up, and it takes time.
Yeah.
And then once they're done, you got to sift through the ashes, and you got to get all the bits of bone out, and
fun
you got to crunch up all the bone, and then put that into the urn.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's why it's easier to just burn off the skin and then string up the skeleton and do that instead.
And make you like a science...
No, a Halloween decoration.
Oh, I was... Okay. Sure, if that's what you want.
I've been telling your mother this for years. She refuses.
But then we see Julia and Quentin, and the book has now made a third chapter.
Yeah, congratulations. You've got da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
And the next key is in Fillory.
Oh, of course. Hey, did you notice that they were spelling Fillory wrong the entire time?
I know, in the subtitles. We were watching on Netflix again.
So annoying.
The lighting is still...
Speaking of which...
Well, first we see Dean Fogg, and he's like, surprise, surprise, the Board of Trustees...
is closing the school.
They're closing the school. I would evict magic. You guys, but no one actually knows you who know, owns the cottage.
See, this is bad, because Dean Fogg should have turned it around and made it like a business school or something, right? Like, it's not too late to turn it into something else, right? Like, kind of like when... what was it? There was another school. I think it was like a school you guys were going to, and it was going to go out of business, and then they turned it around into like a private school. Oh, it was Earth's, duh. No. That's what happened. Yeah, that's what happened with Earth's. Yeah, your school that you went to school at was, it was originally a public, it was, no, it was originally a public school.
No,
yeah, the facility was a public school, and they were like, we don't want to lose the school, we don't want to lose the kids, and there needs to be a school for it, so let's turn it into this science magnet school, and that's where you ended up going to school, you and your brother.
Yep.
Because...
I'm aware of my own education.
But they saved that school by turning it into that special smarty kid school.
Dean Fogg isn't smart.
Obviously not. He just wants to drink himself into oblivion.
He gets some alcohol and he fucks off. And then who comes through the door? But Elliot and Fenn and Frey.
Being chased by cannibals.
They shut the door. They slam it.
Yep.
And Quentin immediately runs to him. This is my one thing with this episode.
Your complaint.
This is my one complaint. Just call it a complaint. This is my one complaint.
Which is?
The shot of Quentin and Elliot going to hug each other is the, like, worst framed shot I've ever seen.
You just wanted to see a full...
I just want to see the hug, man. If you're gonna show the hug, show the fucking hug, dude. It's, like, it's all backlighting, so you can't see anything. And everything's on, like, camera left. And, like, Julia's on camera left, and so is Elliot and Quentin. So they're all piled up there. There's no one on the other side, so there's no, like, balance in the frame.
There was already a lot of homosexual stuff going on in this episode. Maybe they felt like it was just one too many.
But there's behind-the-scenes photos of the hug from a different angle, so that means they had the opportunity,
No,
you know?
Maybe there was just the set photographer taking
but it
a
still
picture.
Is frustrating because it's... I want to see the hug,
guys. I know. You want to see the hug.
I want to see the hug. It looks like a comfy hug. It's a sweet hug, but they hug.
Who would you rather hug? Hale Appelman or Jason Ralph?
Hale Appelman, because he's taller than me.
You think he'd be a good hugger?
Actually, no. I take that back. Jason Ralph would be a better hugger because he's closer to my size.
Yeah. It would be a much more
convenient hug.
I think Hale Appelman would probably be a good hugger. I'd give Hale a good hug.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a good heterosexual hug, though.
Platonic hug.
Exactly. It'd be a respect hug.
But Elliot gathers everyone, and he's like, come sit. Listen to the story of Elliot did nothing wrong, but was chased by cannibals through the befucked Netherlands anyway. And so he's like, yeah, so, by the way, this is my daughter Frey. And everyone's like, what the fuck?
Daughter.
And he's like, I'll explain later. And he's like, okay, so we were running
through
the Netherlands.
It would have been funny if Fan also goes, and I have wooden toes. right, everybody has news to share.
Elliot tells a story of how they were going through the Netherlands and they got chased, and how he fed his dad to the cannibals.
Right,
and he was like, yes,
fear.
It was very cathartic. And I love that for him. We love immersive therapy.
Yes. So let me ask you a question.
What?
If you had a chance
to feed you to cannibals?
No,
I would not do that.
That's not what I was asking. Thank you, though.
You're welcome.
No, if you had the key, the greatest fear key, and you held it, what do you think your greatest fear would be?
It would just be heights.
It would just be a height?
Yeah.
You'd just be...
heights.
Scared of, like, a tall building or something?
I'd be, like, suddenly on a tall building.
You'd be on a tall building. But yeah. I don't think it works that way. I think it's a personification.
Okay, then it would probably be, like, you guys dead.
That's a normal fear. That's not, yeah. What, I mean...
Sorry.
You know, Shadow Demon? No. Giant Spider?
Nah.
No.
Nah.
Dracula or anything? Nothing like that?
Nah.
All right.
What would be yours?
My greatest fear?
A dragon.
No.
You like dragons.
I'm not a dragon.
You like dragons.
I'm not eight. And no, dragons never scared me. I mean, I was pretty scared by that giant alien at the
Universal. Oh, it would be Universal. The aliens from Zathura, actually. I lied.
No, that would be your greatest fear is the alien from Zathura?
Yeah.
Oh, this movie is so great. We should watch that again.
No, we
should.
No.
Oh, write in if you want us to do a watch Zathura.
It's not related to the magicians.
Have Evelyn
it's
confront their greatest fear.
No,
there's magic in that movie.
It's not a magician's related thing.
It's just science fiction magic.
It's not a magician's related thing.
It's such a good movie,
no,
though.
No, it's not.
All right, so my greatest fear would be... I mean, you know, there's the your mom dead and that kind of thing, but that's not sure. That's not like something I'm scared of. I think that's really what the key is. It's not like what your fear is, but what you're scared of.
Yeah.
Right?
That's
no, but there's different. There's a fear that like makes you worried and upset and causes you to lose sleep, but then there's like what are you like afraid of? Like what is the thing that you're like, "Ah, I'm going to run away from that." For me, it would probably be I don't know. It might be a werewolf.
Okay.
Or it might be a giant audio animatronic of some sort. Like something too big.
Five Nights at Freddy's.
Well, no, not Five Nights at Freddy's. But like when we used to go to Universal Studios, like in the past few years, the designers of it would always end with like a really big audio animatronic. And there's just some... I love audio animatronics. And I like monsters, but there's just something about an audio animatronic that's like way bigger than a human that is very disturbing.
Yeah.
That's just wrong. And plus...
They're going to eat you.
No, it's not the eat. It just... It's like, is it going to crush you? Is it going to... Like, it just... It's too big to exist, right? Like, even a horse is kind of almost too big to exist.
Horses are
right?
scary.
See, horses can be a little scary. And they're unpredictable. That's
sorry, Ellen.
Yeah, and...
we know you love your horses.
And even, I mean, elephants are okay, but elephants are pretty, you know, they're pretty calm. And that, like, goes a long way. I think it's good that, like, whales and elephants are calm. Because if they weren't, then I think people would be way more freaked out by them.
Uh-huh.
The calmness offsets the size. But in a haunted house, you've got, like, a giant troll or something... And it was just always very unnerving. Like, I literally froze in place at one. Like, I was like, I'm not moving. I'm not going near that thing. It's just too scary.
Yeah.
So that's what it would be. It'd probably be a giant audio animatronic troll from Universal Studios Halloween Haunt Nights.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But Julia and Quentin get out the key.
Yes.
And they're like, we've been
and
calling it.
What do they
it.
See?
Well, they say, we've been calling it the truth key because it shows you truth.
And what do they
and
see?
And Elliot's like, give it to me. I can handle a little truth. So he takes it and he's like, doesn't look like it works on me. You know, maybe I'm just resistant to it. And he goes, oh, hi, Penny.
Yes. And everyone's like, wait, what?
What?
And that is the greatest ending ever of any Magician's episode.
It's very good.
It is a great payoff for this entire episode of poor Penny being so frustrated.
I know.
And then finally they see him. And of course, you've got to wait till next episode to see what happens.
Next episode, baby.
All right. So what would you rate? I already know the answer to this. But what would you rate B, the Penny?
7 out of 7 keys, baby.
Yeah, 7 out of 7.
It is a good episode.
Is it a perfect episode?
I almost said perfect, but it's not because of that shot.
That one shot ruined it for you?
It is on my top 10 favorite episodes.
How high, though, up on the top 10?
It's pretty high.
Like 3 or 2? Or
it's like my 4th or 5th.
4th or 5th one?
Yeah.
All right.
It's like my 4th or 5th one.
All right, so 7 keys from Evelyn.
7 keys from me.
All right.
Including the illusion and the truth key.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Well, how would you rate it?
I think I would rate it, well... I've already set a precedent, so I'm going to rate it 8 keys.
Oh, my God. There's not 8 keys. There
All right, 7
keys.
Keys. 7 keys. It was great. It was funny. I know you hate him, but Hyman is hilarious in
this.
This
is the only episode where he's, like, super funny.
Penny's torment is hilarious, and his facial expressions are great.
Arjun is so funny.
He is very funny in this episode. The stuff with... there's just funny, the whole thing throughout is, even though it's got that flagrant plot screw up with Rupert, and it's got the very bad homophobic murder stuff in it, which is awful, and there's a lot of weird, inconsistent characterization stuff going on, it still is, again, it's a good episode that moves the plot forward. It's interesting, even though there's nothing at all in this episode that has any bearing to do with anything in the books. They're just completely off the rails at this point. But this is when they're off the rails for good. Kind of like the heist episode, right? Like, this Up until now, the heist episode was maybe my favorite, but this one I think matches up with that. This is easily as good as the heist episode.
Oh yeah, baby.
So yeah, this is a great episode. Definitely watch. I don't know though if it's a, like, you know how they say if you want to watch Doctor Who,
I rewatched this episode.
Right, but no, what I'm saying is, like, if somebody is like new to Doctor Who,
oh no, don't watch.
You say
this episode.
Watch Hush or something like that, right?
No.
Or if you're watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer, watch the silent episode or the musical episode, right? But yeah. But I think that, unfortunately, that's the only thing that this doesn't have going for it, is it's not a good standalone episode. Like, this show, I mean, this whole show, I'm trying to think of, like, is there an episode? And it's so tightly winded into its continuity that I don't think there is such a thing as a stand, other than just watching the pilot. I don't think that there's a good, you know, one that can, that you can go, oh, well, you really need to watch this episode to, like, really get the Magicians. Although, this is a great episode of The Magicians.
It is a very good episode.
All right. Well, there we go. We're in agreement. Woo! High five.
Woo! Yeah. Air high five.
Thanks, Cake. TM.
Oh, my God.
All right. So, what is your, what is else is going on in the world of The Magicians?
Well, there is a new cool collaborative fandom thing that exists now. It's called the Stonefruit Grimoire, and it is a collaborative fandom spell book. So if you ever come, if you've
is that
ever,
like a cookbook?
So if you've ever come up with a spell in like a fic or a story that you've written for the Magicians, and you've like, and if it, even if it doesn't have a name, you can include it, and you can include what the spell does and where you can find it in the story and who wrote it, and then you can fill the, we're filling up the whole book with like whatever spell you can think of. So I haven't gone through it yet, but I am going to add some of the stuff that I've come up with for spells.
Are they going to have the excerpt from the book to show how the spell was used?
I think for some people they have done that, and for other people they just describe what it is. It really depends on the person, because it is like, it's literally like a Google Doc that you go and submit to, but you can find it on Twitter. I got commissioned to do like the cover for it, so I put the link under that picture. And it's also through Sylphiel on Twitter. She is the one who created it with her friend, and that's where the link is as well. And it's really cool. I'm very excited to add to it. There is also the GalaxyCon video and Q&A thing that is happening with Hale Appelman, Olivia Taylor Dudley, Stella Maeve, Jade Taylor, Brittany Curran, and Harvey Gillian. You know, all fun and cool people that you could pay money to talk to for 2 minutes or you could watch their Q&A. And yeah, so that's it right now. It's pretty cool.
All right. Well, that's great. And where can people find you online?
Where can people find us?
Oh, where can they find us?
You can find us at Fillory Father on Twitter, at Fillory and Father on TikTok, and Fillory and Father at gmail.com. Please send us a message. Send us what you thought about the episode. We will read it on the podcast.
Or even
come
better,
on, guys.
Send us photos of cake.
No.
Your favorite cake.
Don't.
Show us a cake you made. In particular, if you made a magician's cake.
Penny-shaped cake.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, send us a message. We would love to hear from you.
Yes, we would. Because none of you have written us yet, and we're starting to get a little hurt by it.
Yeah. Guilt trip.
All right. So, where can they find you, Evelyn,
you
online?
Can find me at wow_then on Twitter, and at fishydwarves on Instagram and Patreon, also under the name Evelyn Rogers. I also have a website, evelynleerogers.com, where I do commissions. It's my job.
All right.
But yeah, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at mightybedbug.com. You can find me at thankscake.com.
No.
TM.
No.
No. Now I have to buy that.
No.
And make thankscake.
No.
What would be on thankscake.com?
No, we're not doing this. This is the end of the podcast.
We can't start a bit.
We're not doing a bit at the end.
Oh, man. You always eat my cake at the end of the...
Jesus Christ.
No. Is that a thing? That's like drink your milkshake, right?
No, thank you.
They have milkshake
cake? No, thank you.
All right. Well, that's it. You've survived another episode of Fillory and Father. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening.
Hooray. Yay, we did it. Thanks, cake.
Oh,
TM.
God.